This is Phil Farron, and I am driving home, and it's Saturday today. Sorry about that. On Wednesday, I was rushing around getting ready to go out of town on my wedding anniversary, and apparently, I did not notice that my little recorder was on the verge of running out of memory, so I got about 6 minutes, 45 seconds of the podcast recorded, and then all of a sudden, click, everything shut off. So I am going to kind of keep my eye on the LED and make sure that we're still running. And I have a breakfast on Saturday morning, so I came back in for that breakfast, and it happens to be near my client, so I drove over to my client. So we're going to try this again. I did upload the fragment that I did Wednesday, and I am going to just pick up from there as opposed to starting all over again. Quick update on the complaint-free world since it is Saturday. If I go with a little bit of a looser line, as opposed to being so much stringent, I'm actually on day 5 at this point, or I've had 5 days, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I'm on day 5. If I go with really, really stringent, I'm on day 2. So, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. Anyways, I was talking about the fact that I had had a topic in queue on my little iPhone for some time for a podcast. And I had been waiting, thinking, well, maybe you want to do that, maybe you don't, because honestly, it will be offensive to some people. And what had happened was last week, I was looking through the favorites on YouTube. It's kind of part of my ritual. I go to take out my little iPhone when I have some time and just see what the new favorites are on YouTube. And there was a featured YouTube video. And the video was called Food Porn. Food porn, as in pornography. And I went, hey! Apparently, that's not original with me, because the topic that I had in queue on my iPhone was going to be the similarities between food and porn, and specifically the similarities, well, specifically now, as I've been thinking about it and refining this, specifically the similarities between the food industry and the pornography industry. So when I saw this term food porn, I went, well, okay, what does this mean? And so I watched the YouTube video, and it was all about this chef who cooks with cheese, and they're showing the close-ups of the ooey-gooey cheese as it's pouring on stuff, and they're saying, ooh, isn't that so good to eat? And so then I took this term, and I ran over to Wikipedia, and just typed in food porn in Wikipedia, and apparently, it is a term that has been in usage now for several years, maybe not in common usage, but it has a couple of different variants on it. One is this tendency in food advertising to make very enticing pictures. You know, these spectacular visual presentations, is the way Wikipedia says it, of food, including making food with water dripping off of it so that it looks like, you know, it's a human body that's sweating. And that's one definition of food porn. There's also another definition of food porn where it's any foods that boast a really high fat content and calorie content, or foods that are exotic dishes that arouse a desire to eat it, or people who use food as a substitute for sex. I mean, this idea of food porn apparently has been floating around for a while, and according to Wikipedia, it actually traces back to a company called, I'm looking on my notes, the Center for Science in the Public Interest, which began publishing a newsletter in 1998, and they had a section in the back called Right Stuff versus Food Porn, and we'll get back to that in a minute. So really what we're going to be talking about today, and what has been a topic for discussion this past week, is the similarities between food and pornography in our society. And I know that this is going to be a touchy subject for a lot of people, but all I ask you to do is just kind of think about what I'm saying. Just, whoa, sorry about that. Going a little fast through the stoplight. Went through that one on orange. All I'm asking for you to do is just think about it. Okay, just think about it and apply it to your life. Apply it to your life. I was going to say apply it to your wife, but it really should be apply it to your life. In any way that you think you should. And if you listen to me today and you just say, I don't think there's any connection with that at all, I don't think it's that similar at all, I get to eat whatever I want, that's fine. Just go ahead. Do whatever you like to do. And as I'm fond of saying, I hope that works out for you. And I mean that in the most serious way, because as I said last week, my whole goal really is to create an environment of success for myself and create an environment of success for the people around me. So hear me out. Make your own decisions. Anyways, so let's start with the porn industry. The porn industry is an industry which is based on a fact of biology. They recognize that there is a certain portion in the brain, specifically in men's brains, that is susceptible to stimulation with certain kinds of visual images. Well, visual and auditory things, stimulations. And so what they do is they design a product that hits this portion of this highly susceptible portion of the brain in such a way that it activates the pleasure centers and leaves you wanting more. And so their goal is to produce a product that becomes a pleasurable experience, hits the pleasure centers of the brain, and exploits the susceptibility that men specifically have. Not that women can't get addicted to porn, let's not nitpick. Anyway, specifically men have, in order to get them addicted to this stimuli so that they can then go out, make more of it, and sell more of it to you. This industry does not really care what it's doing to you. And in fact, the industry will go, oh, pish-posh, it's okay. It's porn isn't bad for you. It's the spice of life. It makes life funner. It makes life enjoyable. Everybody should just look at porn. I mean, when you look at what the industry will say about it, they'll just poo-poo the fact that there's no problems. So that's what we have on the industry side. Then on the consumer side of it, I just went out to a website and I just put in, you know, like the cost of porn. And very quickly, I found what I was looking for. There was a website that went down and was ticking off things about what an addiction to porn does to you. You know, results in a lack of productivity in your career, missed jobs opportunities, you're working in a job underneath your abilities because you're distracted by this, you're craving it, you're thinking about how you're going to get your next hit. There's a cost involved because you have to pay for it a lot of times. There's a loss of creativity. One of the things this website talked about that they did, trying to get men who were addicted to porn to wake up and see what it was doing to them, they said, we borrow a term from the military called the BDA, bomb damage assessment. And we look at a number of different areas and try to show men what it's doing to them financially, relationally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, and what it's also doing to their legacy. What are we passing on to our kids? That's what it's doing from the consumer side. Now then, let's set that aside and let's talk about the food industry. What really got me started down this whole track, they are redoing the roads in my area, the road that I used to go out, and so they have torn up the asphalt, and there's going to be a couple of those too as we go out. Lots of road construction. It's the stimulus package. Anyways, the book that really got me started on this and caused me to put the entry on my iPhone about doing a podcast on the similarities between porn and the food industry was the book called The End of Overeating. And there are other books out there that have presented this information. It's not really new, but I found the book very interesting and intriguing. The man who wrote the book, and I had it in my notes and I can't put my finger on it right now, the man who wrote the book was actually an FDA commissioner during the Clinton administration. And he's a very disciplined man, goes through life, has been lots of accomplishments and that kind of stuff. And he found that he couldn't get control of his appetite and his cravings for food. And he was trying to figure out what in the world's going on. And so he went around and started doing interviews with food executives and restaurants and tried to figure out why certain foods were so highly palatable. And the short answer is they're highly palatable because they're designed to be highly palatable. Because the food industry many, many years ago discovered something very important. What they discovered was that certain combinations hit the pleasure centers in the brain in such a way that they create an addiction. And there doesn't seem to be an acclimation to the addiction. And it's not just sugar or fat or salt alone. It's actually this combination of sugar, fat, and salt layered together. That combination seems to hit the brain in such a way that it creates cravings and addictions for more. One of the examples he gives is potato chips. What are potato chips? When you slice them thin like that, you start with a potato, which is a starch, and it's an easily digested carbohydrate that turns to sugar. You fry them in fat, and then you put salt on them. And there you have your triumvirate. You have your salt and your fat and your sugar. And over the years, food industries have figured out how to create these very powerful, in the books they're called fat, salt, sugar bombs, that will actually hit your pleasure centers as you're eating them and will create cravings for more. And things in the production of these foods are done specifically to increase the level of fat, salt, and sugar in these things. One of the things that was interesting in the book that he said, The End of Overeating, it's very rare that you'll find someone who will sit down and just eat sugar by itself, teaspoon after teaspoon after teaspoon of sugar, because eventually the body has a reaction to that. But if you layer it with fat and with salt, or even just with fat, people will consume much more sugar. He gives lots of examples in the book. So here's just a couple. It's interesting. Chili's has what's called their Southwestern egg rolls. And they deep fry their tortillas because they're trying to drive down the water content that's normally in it from 40% to about 5%, and they replace the rest with fat. Because they need that fat and the simple carbs of the tortillas, and I'm sure the salt that's loaded in there, to create that addictive substance. He also talks about the Grand Lux Cafe in Las Vegas, where they have a double-baked mashed potatoes that are wrapped in fried spring rolls and that are served with bacon and cheese. They're listed as an appetizer, but it's a simple carbohydrate that's loaded with fat and then surrounded by layers of salt on fat on salt on fat. And so the food industry, just like the porn industry, recognizes that there is a way to stimulate the brain with a product that will create an addiction. This whole thing, the old advertising, bet you can't eat just one. It's engineered to be that way. The people who actually invented the term food porn tracks different things in the industry, And one of the things they tracked in, at the back of their newsletter, as I mentioned before, they have a last page that's called Right Stuff versus Food Porn. And I just pulled out a couple of things out of it. One of them was from Domino's. Domino's has this thing called bread bowl pasta, where they take this white bread and they make a bowl out of it, and then they dump this refined pasta in it, and on top of that, layer with cheese. And so in this one serving, you get between 1,300 and 1,400 calories out of this one serving. You get 22 to 28 grams of saturated fat out of it, and you get between 1,800 and 2,800 milligrams of sodium in it. Now, what is that? I think the Center for Science in the Public Interest is right. That's food porn. That is specifically designed to hit your pleasure centers in such a way as to create an addiction. One of my favorite, though, is this thing called the Chocolate Chip Paradise Pie. It happens to be from Chili's as well. This thing, when you look at it, is like a little square. It doesn't look like it's any more than about 2 inches by 2 inches. Little flat square of ooey gooey goody stuff in it, with this dollop of ice cream on the top of it that's sprinkled with other stuff and some nuts on top. This thing has roughly 1,600 calories in it. I mean, there's no way you could look at this thing and figure out how many calories it has. Not only that, it has 35 grams of saturated fat and 950 milligrams of sodium in it. Now, as they say in the newsletter, that's the equivalent of a rack and a half of baby back ribs. We call that food porn. This week, as I was ramping up and thinking about doing this, we were at Ruby Tuesdays. We love Ruby Tuesdays. They've got a great salad bar. It's fresh. So we go there to eat. A couple of the servers, they know we always get the salad bar. And so a couple of them, it's kind of a joke and a game. And I know it's a game. They come by and they show us the pictures of the dessert, you know. Sure, you don't want some. We've got a new one today. So one of these waiters came by and he was showing us his pictures. Ooh, see the new one? See who we've got today? And I looked at him today and I said, you know what we call that, don't you? And he said, no. Okay, what do you call it? I said, we call that food porn. And he looked at me like, food porn? I said, yeah, we call that food porn. I said, you know, when you have these little things of food that have ridiculously high calorie counts, and there's photographs of them trying to make them so enticing, yeah, that's food porn. And he kind of said, oh, well, I guess I've never heard it called that. I said, well, I probably won't be having any of that today. So I went home just for the fun of it. I don't think I have any mail to pick up, but I'm going to go ahead and get my mail anyways. I'm getting my mail. Just for the fun of it, I went out to the Ruby Tuesdays website. Yep, no mail, because it's Saturday morning. And I finally found it. You couldn't find it really easily on the Ruby Tuesdays website, but if you dug down in the links all the way over to the side and downloaded the PDF and dug through the PDF, you could actually find what the calorie count was on this little piece of cheesecake. And it was about 750 calories. And it had about 60 grams of fat in it. Now, I don't know what portion was saturated, non-saturated, because they didn't list that. But 60 grams of fat is the total amount of fat you should have for an entire day. I'm backing into the garage. Now, there's really no reason for this kind of food to have these kind of calories in it, except for the fact that the industry that puts out these kind of things, is designing this stuff to do one thing and one thing alone. And that is to hit your pleasure centers so that you will come back and order more of it. And frankly, they don't really care what it's doing to you. That's the industry side of it. Oh, and then there's one other portion of it. And I made some notes on this here. It's very interesting because in the end of overeating, he's not just talking about fat and salt and sugar and those combinations, but there's also this thing of making the food highly palatable. Let me do a quote from him here. When you eat a Snickers bar, the chocolate, the caramel, the nougat, and all the peanuts disappear at the same time. You're not getting this buildup of stuff in your mouth. Another place, he calls it adult baby food. Well, actually, somebody in the food industry called that adult baby food, because what it is they're taking all the fiber out of the foods, they're taking all the gristle and all that kind of thing so that you don't have to chew as much. So that as you chew, it just sort of falls apart in your mouth and you can swallow it easy, 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 easy. So that it goes down and it goes down quick and you think, oh, I haven't worked very hard. I should have more. So that's from the business side of it. Now let's look at it from the consumer side of it. You know what's amazing to me is I did not work very hard at all in getting this list together of the cost to a person personally of being addicted to porn. But let's go back over the list one more time and think about people who are addicted to food. People who have allowed food to become such a high priority in their lives that they're 20, 30, 40, 60, 80, 100 pounds overweight. Okay, and I'm not saying this to condemn. I'm saying this to say, let's just stop and do a bomb damage assessment of what it's doing. Okay, does obesity lead to a lack of productivity in a career? Yes. Does it lead to missed job opportunities? Yes. Does it lead to working under your abilities? Yes. Does it lead to a loss of creativity and energy? Yes. Is there a financial cost? Absolutely. Is there a relational cost? Yes. An emotional? Yes. Because I don't know anyone who, when they begin to lose the weight, does not experience a lifting of their spirit, a lifting of their focus. That extra weight does not do anyone any good. And unfortunately, what has happened in this country is for many, 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 many years, we've pointed our finger over at, oh, look how evil that industry is over there. But we've given the food industry a pass because they're just trying to make things that taste good. They're doing us a favor. In fact, they are not doing us a favor. And they are exploiting exactly the same tactics that the pornography industry uses. The porn industry is just simply targeting a different portion of the brain. But I would submit for your review the proposition that what the porn industry is doing in arousing your visual sexual centers is exactly the same thing that the food industry is doing in terms of arousing your taste and appetite and pleasure centers with regards to food and smells and those types of things. I don't see that there's really much difference. And I see that the cost that it exacts on the person who is addicted to porn is very similar to the cost that it exacts to the person that is addicted to those things. So what then is to be done? Pretty much the same thing that's done with any addiction. If you need to get yourself some help, get yourself some help. If you need to structure your life a little bit different so that those types of stimulus are not around you, you need to structure your life to get those stimulus away from you. I will tell you right now, I love Cheez-Its. Okay. I love Cheez-Its. I bought a box for my wife last week, and I find myself going by and just take a little handful of Cheez-Its here and there. I like the way they taste. I love the salt, the carbs. I mean, you know, I have the same problem as everybody else. But what I really try to do is make sure that the majority of the food that I'm getting is food that God designed. Because when God made food, He made food that was good for me, not simply food that was trying to get me to buy it so some company could make some more money and get me addicted to their food so I'll buy more. Here's the problem. I can sit here and keep talking because I really don't have any kind of hard deadline to get to today, but there are a few things that I need to get to. So I would just ask you, think about this, consider it, and then take it and use it in your life however you would choose to use it. This is Phil Ferrand. I have made it home. Have a great day.